name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You notice that the readings of the Coptic month of Tuba are all related to the enlightenment, because this month, the main incident in it was the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. So last time, we hear St. John the Baptist witnessing about the Lord, defining his understanding about being the friend of the bridegroom. And today, we hear the story of the man born blind, how the Lord healed him and gave him his sight and gave him also his insight. And the man born blind is a typical example of a person who reacted and worked with God in the best way that make him to be enlightened. So at the beginning, this man was like any one of us, a person who doesn't see, he never knew the light. And when he met with the Lord Christ, of course he didn't know whom he is. But let us see how this man went into this journey in order to regain his insight. What is inside is more important, of course, than regaining his vision. How his journey was to tell us something about how we also ought to walk in the same way. At the beginning, he allowed the Lord to work when he did not even understand. Let us think about it. Yes, we know whom the Lord is. But this man who is sitting in the street begging, he is now experiencing something very different. Somebody come to him, and then maybe he heard him spitting on the floor and made a mud, and then he's taking this mud and putting it into his eyes. Of course, this was something unexplained to this guy. Maybe he thought about maybe somebody is playing with him, is joking with him. Maybe somebody is trying to ridicule him or something like that. It was totally something unheard of before. But meanwhile, he reacted in a spirit of submission to this. He allowed God to work even he did not understand. This is the main point. Sometimes we hinder God from working in our lives because we want to question him. And we want to know that what we are doing exactly. Let me know, let me understand. Not even so. But sometimes we look to God as if like he doesn't know what he is doing. We think of God maybe as unfair. Maybe what he is doing is not going to lead us to something, as if like we are more wise than him, as if we love ourselves more than he loves us, which is not the case. How many people God tried with them, and God tries with them every day to give them back their sight, and meanwhile they refuse to allow him to work because simply they do not understand. This is something we learn from this man born blind. When he did not understand, he still allowed God to work with him. The second point, this man obeyed without questioning God's wisdom. We hear that the Lord said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. This was, of course, a hint to the action of the mystery of baptism. The Lord worked with him, but he asked him to go and wash. If this man come with a spirit of philosophy and earthly wisdom and said to him, "What is the lake is going to do to me? I went there many times before and nothing happened. If you are able to give me back my sight, just do it. If you cannot, don't put like a load on me by going there and washing. Why you are asking me to do this?" This is exactly like what the people now are doing when they are questioning God's wisdom when it comes to the sacraments. They come with an earthly wisdom and say, "What is it that somebody goes in the water and come out? The water is not going to do anything. It is not the water, it is the Holy Spirit working in it." This man, if he did not answer the Lord in such a spirit of obedience, he wouldn't ever regain his sight. If this man kept on questioning God, why do you do it this way? Why I should go and wash? Then I do not think, and maybe you share me in that, this man would never be able to see again. He worked with God. This is how God wants us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. The Lord, when He delivered His people from the land of Egypt, He inflicted Egypt with 9 plagues before the last one, where deliverance was brought through. And you notice something, the all 9 plagues did not get the people out. Why God did not start with the last one at the beginning? But God wanted to give the people something to learn from the story. It is when you work with me, when you slain the Passover lamb and you take from its blood and you obey my orders and instructions and you work with me, then I will deliver you at that time. It is when man worked with God. Yes, God did all the work. Washing in the lake of Siloam is nothing, but meanwhile, He worked something. This is how God wants us to work out our salvation. So this man obeyed, and he went and washed his face, and he regained his sight. So after this, what happened to him? He was asked about his faith many times by the Pharisees and scribes. And the man witnessed when he was asked. The man said to the Pharisees, "This is a marvelous thing. When they said that, we do not know who this guy is, who this fellow, where did he come from?" He said to them, "This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind." So this man, who is a simple person, worked all of his life as a beggar, is standing before the teachers of the Jews, answering them and witnessing in bold and brave way. He just knew the Lord for a few minutes, but he was able to stand for his belief. Compare this man to us. Maybe we came to the church and we know the Lord whom He is. We experienced Him many times, but when we go out and we confront the world, sometimes we shy to tell them that this is the truth. We feel like maybe this will offend them, will make them unhappy. I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want to be separated when the people look at me and think of me that maybe I am a fanatic person or a traditional person, that I don't want the people will think this way of me. This man, he stood against everyone. When he believed, he witnessed, and he answered in a very brave way that gave us an example about how we should witness. What after this happened to this man? This man was now the war against him to make him to doubt that the man who healed him was a saint. As if like, this is a sinner. This is what they were saying to him. You should not be believing in him. The people wanted him to deny his experience, but at that time the man stood against those who tried him, anchored by his personal experience. Okay, let us come to the bottom line. You say this man is a sinner, but let me answer you. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Say whatever you want, at the end of the day, I cannot just deny my experience with him. This is what is happening in our contemporary age. The people will come and fight against the children of God by saying, God does not exist. Or even if he exists, he doesn't care. He doesn't love you as he says. The Bible is not the word of God. Maybe some of it is the word of God. At the end of the day, it is not a battle between intellects to answer and say, let me prove it to you. What is going to make you stand firm is your personal experience. You tell me God does not exist. No, I cannot believe you. Simply, maybe I cannot prove it to you, but I experienced His presence in my life. My relationship with Him. This is what St. John wrote in his epistle. Whom we saw and we touched by our hands, whom we experienced, is the one whom we are going to inform and tell you about. At the end of the day, my brethren, it is our personal experience to make us to stand and face the world and go in our life carrying a cross, believing, trusting that we are following the true God. It is our personal experience, in our prayers, in our readings, in our liturgical worship that make me to say, no, I know God, I experienced Him. I was once blind, now I see. How can I just ignore all of that? So this man now in his journey is reaching a point where he is going to endure a loss. Now the cross is going to be manifested in him. So what is going to do with this guy? They answered and said to him, when they were not able to confront his rationale, they said to him, you are completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. In the journey to know God, there is a loss. If you think in your mind that you can navigate in your journey with God without carrying a cross, without enduring a loss, then maybe you are deceiving yourself or somebody is deceiving you. So at this time, the man was confronted not only with an argument, but was a punishment. If you witness, you are out. You go out from here. You will be cast out from the assembly. This man did not regret what he did. He did not try to make up for what he said and say, run after the people, trying to gain their approval back again and saying, let me try to explain myself, like what we see it sometimes with the politicians. They say something, if the polls go down, there's something else, and let me explain myself, maybe you didn't get me right. The man didn't say that. This is what I meant, because this is what I believe, and I'm not going to make any makeup for what I have said. At the end, when this man was cast out, the Lord found him. The Lord visited him when he did not expect him, and at the end, he found him while he was at the bottom of the story, losing everything. His parents denied him, and also now the Pharisees cast him out from the assembly. When he believed, then he worshipped. The Lord asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he said to him, whom he is? And the Lord said that to him, I am the one who speaks to you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. This is also something very crucial in our spiritual journey. When we believe, we have to worship. I cannot say I believe only on the level of the word of the mouth. This is not a true belief. A belief is manifested in my life. Above all, manifested in a life of worship, through the liturgical worship and my personal relationship in my room with God. If I say I believe, I have to worship. This man translated this fact immediately. He believed and then he worshiped God. So this journey that looked very, like, how do you say it, tough and maybe a miniature of our journey on earth, it resembles exactly how we live here on earth. Unless we will be able to do it like this man, to navigate our journey like this man who was born blind, and in one day he regained his sight and his insight, we will never be able to know whom God is or enjoy him in eternal life. Let us review how this man worked out his salvation, how he navigated his journey. He allowed the Lord to work when he did not even understand what is going on. He obeyed God and went to the lake and washed without questioning God's wisdom. He witnessed when he asked. He stood against those who tried him, anchored by his personal experience. He accepted the loss for the privilege of knowing Christ, and at the end, he worshipped when he believed. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.